on this journey tonight. For consideration, I want you to consider these thoughts tonight. You know, church, as we're getting to the end of 2019, as we're getting to the end of this, you know, time is going. Time is slipping by. There's not a lot of time. You know, every day, church, to put it as not to be so dramatic, but we're all dying. Our bodies are aging. And yet, those situations in our lives, those relatives that aren't saved, they're getting closer and closer to death. A lot closer than we think they are. And every time we postpone them, they get closer and closer. Now, there's a reason why I put those chairs this way, but I want to get into my message first. I don't want those to be a distraction, church, because sometimes we do have a lot of distractions. I know everybody's thinking, what is the purpose of those chairs? But just give me some time here, and I will get to those. The title of my message is Miklat or Refuge. And my text tonight, church, if we can stand for the reading of the word, my text is found in Numbers chapter 35, verse 6. And I will be covering Numbers 35, 1 through 34. When everyone gets there, please say amen. Numbers 35, 6, and it reads like this. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them he shall add 42 cities. You know, church, when the Lord was speaking this message to me, I was going back to a message I had written years and years ago, and it talked about the cities of refuge. And it brought something to mind, something I was missing, an element, because I was saying, Lord, what is it you want me to preach tonight? And as I was looking at this old message, I realized, God, you're saying, we need cities of refuge. There are many people tonight that are looking for somewhere to go. They're looking for something that will give them an absolute truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, there are people desperately clawing, looking for something to satisfy their flesh, but it's not going to happen because it's their spirit that needs that satisfaction. And that satisfaction is going to be Jesus Christ. Tonight, many of us have relatives we can think of right now. And as I go through this message, I will get to speaking about our relatives and our friends and people we know, acquaintances. I will get to that at the end, but let's begin this message, Numbers 35, 1 through 34, and I want to begin with a prayer here. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the reading of your word, Lord. We thank you for this country, God. We thank you for the freedoms we have. We thank you, Almighty God, for the freedoms and the liberties we have, Lord God, in your spirit. We thank you, dear God, for giving us liberty years and years ago. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Almighty God, for who you are, what you're doing, what you've done, and the things you will be doing, Father, at this time, at this place, in appointed time, Father God, in this sanctuary, Lord God, among this people, Father, among the remnant who are still holding true to your word, Father, in spite of the winds of change, Lord, in spite of those things that are considered known, Father, we rebuke them, Father, and we say we're going to stand true to your word, and we're going to stand in your word tonight, Father, and we're going to stand in your word, Father, and continue to serve you, Father. Whatever it takes, Lord. God, help us be true to your word. God, help us to be true to you, Father, when persecution comes our way. God, help us to be strong. Help us to be courageous. And dear God, help us to see those heroes in this congregation tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you, dear God, for being an awesome God and for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Beginning with verse 1, and the Lord spake, and this is going historically, church. Moses had been given an order to the children what they were to do when they finally got to Canaan, what they were supposed to build, what they were supposed to put out there for the children of Israel. And I'm going to begin reading chapter 35, verses, and I'm going to skip some of these verses, but I will touch on the highlights, and then I will get to the premise of my message And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of the possession cities to dwell in. And he shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which he shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And he shall measure, verse 5, and he shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. You know, church, God's command, their gain, measuring the cities. You know, God has always had a plan for the children of God. God has always laid out something that is perfect. That anytime you mix man into the mix, it becomes imperfect. Because man has a way of influencing and changing things. Verse 6, And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. Verse 7, So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall he give with their suburbs. And the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many ye shall give many, but from them that have few ye shall give few. Every one shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance which he inherited. You know, church, if you consider the cities of refuge, just to dive into this, you know, the cities of refuge were also the inherited cities of the Levites. And the Levites stood for the priesthood. The priesthood stands for Jesus Christ. If you consider, church, that God already had a plan for the church of today and the church of tomorrow, God is giving the children, God is giving us, our relatives, a place of refuge. Because, church, you know what? The world will consider it refuge. You know, the church is wanting to throw away the unwanted in our society. You know, we had a discussion, Brother Lucas and I, we were having a quick, or it was Brother Jason, one of us were having a discussion on abortion. And it brought to mind how many children are tossed away. You know, church, there is not a city of refuge for these unborn. You know, there is not a city of refuge for them to escape to. There is nowhere to go but to die. And you know, church, how sad it is in our society. We think of them as garbage. We think of them as experiments. We think of them as mistakes. We think of them as accidents. And I'm saying to church tonight, God has always provided a way out. And God will continue to provide a way out. The cities of refuge, like I said, were also the inherited cities of the priesthood. God, in his divine plan, has provided the ultimate priest, Jesus Christ. And you know, these cities were designed and were made out and were laid out for the priesthood, for the Levitical priesthood. And you know who? A part of that, those cities were also the refuge cities. God has always been good about a plan. Verse 9, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come over Jordan to the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be the cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither which killed any person at unawares. And that they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, 6 cities shall he have for refuge. He shall give 3 cities on this side, Jordan, and 3 cities shall he give in the land of Canaan, which shall be the cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. You know, church, God has provided a plan for everybody. This plan was laid out, church, hundreds of years ago, that it wasn't just for the children of Israel, it was for all of us. God has always had a plan and a way out for the children who are willing to be obedient and follow. But you know, church, tonight, I'm telling you that the world is standing back and watching. Our world is entangled in the things of politics. Our world is entangled in the things that are meaningless to many people. You know, this morning, you know, we had this discussion. I think Pastor even touched on those things, the church. And it made me think about the church itself, the politics. You know, many times, for years the church has slept. For many years the church has fallen asleep. Even tonight the church is a sleep church. We come into a congregation tonight, and I can say honestly, church, that many times, even in our congregations, we're falling asleep. Yeah, we're physically tired, church. We're exhausted. But even in our congregations, we're asleep to the Word of God. God is trying to give us a spiritual awakening like we've never had. If we are to go to the next level, if we are to step over that next, take that next step, if we are at the edge of something great happening, church, it's time for a spiritual awakening. You know, church, the revival didn't start a couple of weeks ago. It started months ago. The preparation started months ago, church. And many that were already preparing were in the flow, understanding the power of God and what was needed. It shouldn't be that Brother Noah would have to come and struggle to awaken some of the people of the church of this time at this place. No, we should already have been awakened. We should have been feasting and feeding off of the church. When was the last time I was thinking to myself, when was the last time I heard someone say, you know, Brother Larry, your message, you know, I've been feasting on what you said. I haven't heard that. So maybe my messages haven't had any power. I think about that. But it's what God has given me for this time, for this place. But the feasting needs to take place at the altar of God and in that one-to-one relationship with Jesus Christ. God is calling us for this season, for this time, and He's looking for those that are willing to sacrifice. You talk about comfort zones, and I think we've had that discussion. Many times we've got to get out of a comfort zone. Tonight, today when I was working, putting some notes together, finalizing, doing cleanup, Sister Kathy approached me and she says, why don't you go and talk to the neighbor and see if he's wanting to come to church? Boy, I hadn't thought about that. Because I was thinking, you know what I was thinking, church? I'm ready for my nap. It's nap time. Yesterday was a lot of walking. Yesterday was a lot of talking. And I thought, you know, it's nap time. But I said, well, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice my nap. And I went over and talked to my neighbor. And I stayed there and I chatted with him for pretty close to an hour. Had a really good discussion with him. And you know, church, they are still waiting for someone to step out. And I thought, you know, and I asked him, and he was still hurting. He's still having problems walking. So I said, neighbor, would you be willing to come to church tonight? You know, I'm preaching. Boy, his eyes lit up. He says, you preach? And I said, yeah. He goes, yeah. He goes, but I don't know if I can make it tonight. He was still hurting. But let me know the next time you're preaching. He goes, and I'll surprise you. And I said, you know, I took my wife's advice. I got out of my comfort zone. But he challenged me, too. You know what he told me, church? He goes, Larry, are you going to have the fire that my mom had? See, his mom was an old-fashioned preacher of the Word of God. She was an old holiness woman. Tried to raise her boys. Her boys didn't go straight. But, you know, she tried to raise her boys, and she preached the Word in this area, kind of in this region at one point. She struggled just to keep a congregation together when people didn't want to hear the Word of God or people were rebelling. But she was hard, a hard preacher. And he challenged me, and I thought, whoa. Okay, bro. Okay, Ronnie, now I'm ready, I guess. I better get this thing together here. What is it going to take to be ready? And it's like you're going to have a deeper relationship with God. Because it's not how loud I'm going to preach, church. It's what's behind the message. You know, church, God is wanting us to be able to bring the broken, the dying in through these doors. We're going to have to get out of our comfort zones. And you know, church, it really was a minor thing for me to get out and go and talk to my neighbor. He's just literally a yard across from me. But you know what? It was uncomfortable because for a long time, you just didn't do those things. But my wife has challenged me with that, because it is time to get out of our comfort zone, church. It's time to get out of this box. You know, pastors talked about, man, you know, where we kind of fit ourselves in a box, you know. It's time to tear the box out. It's time, Brother Noah talked about, you know, basically ripping your mind out, ripping, it's time to rip the top of your head off. See what you got inside. Church, let's go past that. Let's rip open your chest. What do you have in your heart for the people who are dying around you? What do we have? What do we have? The six cities were appointed. Three cities on one side of the Jordan, three cities on the other. Because everyone was going to have an opportunity or a chance to get to the cities if they were needed. Church, if you're the city of refuge, can people reach you? How close can they get to you? There's a lot of people that are looking. You know, verses 16 through 21, and I will read through those, discusses the actual murder, the act of murder versus what's considered manslaughter. Verses 23 through 28 just deals with manslaughter itself, the accidental killing of someone, the punishment, whether it was intentional, not intentional. Makes you think, church. The things that we do with the people around us, is it intentional or unintentional? Do we hurt people around us? Are we murdering their opportunities to come to the house of God? Are we murdering their opportunities to get saved, to know who Jesus Christ is by our actions? I want to get to these chairs here in a little bit, church. But I want everyone to understand, what are we doing? Because, church, it's gotten complicated. Because the world has made it complicated. But the message of Jesus Christ is still the simple, basic gospel message. Jesus has not changed. Verses 27 through 28 discusses what happens if a person gets out of the city. Basically, you can get killed. You get out of God's grace. You get out of God's protection. You are open to what's going to come your way, church. Out of God's will, we refer to that. How many feel tonight they're in God's will? When we think about that, think, what is your will for my life, God? Well, I don't know, God, because I haven't really tested it. God is saying, I need you to go more. Brother Matthew, are you supposed to go to the public schools and talk to these boys, little girls? Is someone supposed to be talking to the neighbor, the grocery store owner? Who is supposed to step out? It's all of us. Because all of us, church, are a city of refuge. Verses 29 through 34 deals with the statutes, the judgments, the witnesses, the defilement. It covers a multitude of things, and I don't have time just to redeem the time here tonight to go over those. Moses laid these out so when they got to that point, when they got to the promised land, or when they got to that point of salvation, let's put it that way in today's modern terms of the church, there's going to be some rules here, some things I would expect. But you know what those cities of refuge were, church? It was mercy. God was extending mercy for people. Tonight, today, are we extending mercy to those around us? People are looking for mercy. Joshua 20, verses 1 through 9. At this point, Joshua has gone in. Joshua has conquered. And now Joshua is following what Moses had directed. As we all know, church, Moses never made it to the promised land. He only got to see it from afar. Joshua had to go in and conquer. And in the church, if they had completely conquered the way they should have conquered, we wouldn't have the problems we have in the Middle East. If you think about the disobedience, and many times we just bent the rules a little bit. In the cities of refuge, church, there were certain rules that God expected that was going to keep you alive. And one of those is you did not go out of the city boundaries. You went out of the city boundaries or out of the will of God, it was open season. And if that relative, that slayer, that avenger was out looking for you, he was going to take. And in the church in today's world, do you know who the avenger is? It's a prince of darkness. He is looking to take out who he can. And he uses a device called sin. And he uses it and he lays it out there and he entices you. He gets you out of the city of refuge saying, you can probably survive, and guess what? You don't survive. Many, many Christians have fallen that way. You know, church, it was interesting that many of your rock stars came out of Pentecostal backgrounds. What a sad fact, musicians, because it was better to serve the world for a season and probably rot in hell than to serve God for eternity. You know, church, it isn't about the instrument. It's about us, the city of refuge. It isn't about this building. It's about us. It's about the church body, a city of refuge. So Joshua takes it upon himself and starts giving up and starts assigning these places. And as I go through Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and that they shall be a refuge from the avenger of blood. Verse 4, and when he had doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Declare your cause, church. Many people would like to declare their cause. Many people would like to know, hey, someone is listening to me. Let me give you my story. Many times we don't want to hear their story. We want them to hear ours. And many times we're saying, I don't think what you have to give me is anything I want. Don't offer it to me. I'll offer you what I got. But many times, people in their desperation, their brokenness, just have one last morsel to give you. And many times, church, they just want to share it. Because many times God will take that morsel and multiply it and say, you know what, we will turn it into something good. People are looking for a spokesperson that will speak on their behalf until they get right in the face of an awesome God. But many times they don't have that opportunity. Verse 6. So basically, verse 5, and if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Verse 7, and they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjatharba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah, and on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. Thus, whoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. We understand they were to select six cities. They could flee to any of these six cities. You know, church, there's more than six people in here tonight. There are more than six of us in here. How do you stand with your relationship with Jesus Christ, and could you be a city of refuge for someone tonight? That neighbor that calls you in for prayer. I thank God, church, that's revival. That's a beginning revival. For a neighbor to come to me and my wife, my family, and ask for prayer, they had to have seen something, church. Other than they see us drive out every Sunday to church and every Thursday night, they had to have seen something. It's the testimony. What kind of city are we? Now let me just share a few points with you concerning the cities of refuge. What was the purpose of the cities, church? And we've kind of touched on these. They were, number one, they were to serve as a refuge. And number two, they were to serve as a reminder. They were to serve as a refuge. The cities were to protect those people who had accidentally murdered someone. Someone who had sinned. Let's just make it sin. Someone who had sinned. What's our purpose as a church in Chelsea, Oklahoma in 2019? What's your purpose with your relationship with Jesus Christ? What is your purpose? Have you purposed in your heart to serve Him no matter what? Have you purposed to make a stand no matter what? Because church, we're all going to be tried. Right now, church, I am facing a trial that I didn't think I'd ever have to face. Opinions from long ago. Situations from long ago that I thought that would never surface in a conservative or what I thought was a conservative community. A situation that has surfaced. And now God is saying, now I want you to be the Christian you need to be. But God, what is it going to take? Will anybody be able to stand? At the end of it all, Lord, am I going to stand? God is saying, you're going to stand. But I'm going to have to follow his precepts, church. But I can tell you, church, just because it's legal doesn't make it moral. And the church has bought that lie. You know, the church has sat back and watched this happen. And now the church has accepted so many things. I'm not talking about this local congregation. I'm talking throughout the world. Why is the world in the condition it's in? Because the church has fallen asleep? Or because the church has turned its back? Why is our government suffering right now? Because the church has turned its back. When they ask God to step out of the public schools, when they ask the Holy Ghost to remove himself from public schools, he stepped out as a gentleman he is and turned around and probably watched as our system has started to crumble. You ask God to step out of government, you watch government crumble. You ask God to step out of family life, you watch families crumble. You ask God to step out of your life, you will crumble. Church, you cannot make it. We cannot make it without God. The purpose of the cities, they were to serve as a refuge and they were to serve as a reminder. You know, as a refuge, back then, church, in the Old Testament, you know, Exodus 21, verses 23 through 25, and I'm not sure, I don't think it's up there, but it reads, and if any mischief follows, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. How many like those rules? How many love those rules, church? You offended me, I'm taking your eye out. You took my eye, I'm taking your eye out. You know, church, there's a story in the Old Testament during some of the many battles where the children of Israel were confronted with an enemy. And they were trying to figure out how to get out of this. They were a weak army at the time. Israel was struggling with its weakness, how it had basically gotten away from serving God. And if you all remember the story, they asked this conqueror, what do we need to do? Basically, we want to make peace. We don't want to get into anything with you. And what did he say? His response was, I need all the males to take out their right eye. We're going to take your eye out. And you think, what are you willing to do? Well, of course, we know that the story didn't end up that way. But church, that's what I'm saying is back then, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We don't live in that because we live under grace. But people have taken advantage of grace and mercy and done whatever they can. Oh, because by the way, your God is a loving God. He will not send anybody to hell. Church, hell has already been designated. Hell is already burning today. It isn't something that's a thought. It's already there. If you're saying a loving God would not send you to hell, it isn't a loving God. It's a hateful person who's going to send themselves to hell. B, they were to serve as a reminder. God continues to watch over the children, even with the worst of crime, which was taken alive. God continues to provide a way of escape when there is no other escape. God continues to show grace and mercy to a society where grace and mercy seem rare. God upholds the laws with grace and mercy. These cities remind us about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, church, many people say, well, I was born this way. I was born a sinful person. Okay, you're born with Adam's sin. However, it's our fault if we stay this way. You know, church, we're making a choice tonight to stay that way. There's a death sentence on every person born into the human race. Do you know that? There is a death sentence on every person in this room tonight. What are you going to do about it, church? Where's your city of refuge? Jesus Christ. You know, after death, there's nothing to look forward to but hell for those people. What about the cities themselves, the provisions? the provisions of the cities, they were provided by God, and they were provided by grace. Provided by God. You know, God's always had a plan. You know, man did not come up with the idea for these cities, church. God did. If man had come up with his ideas, it probably would have been a disaster. These cities, refuge, were birthed in the heart and in the mind of a merciful God as he spoke to Moses. Provided by grace. God could have allowed the manslayer to die like any other person. However, his grace made a way for this person to find a city of refuge. God has always provided a way. And outside of these doors tonight, church, outside of this property, there are people out there. We'll call them manslayers, as the Bible calls them. We'll call them sinners, as we know them. There are multitudes of people in this community around us that are dying one heartbeat at a time. Consider, church, how many heartbeats you have left in your life. Consider how many heartbeats they have. Now consider eternity. What is left after that last heartbeat stops? Your relatives, my brothers, my parents, my friends, my co-workers. The power of the cities, they had the power to save. They had the power to secure, and their power was sufficient. You know, they had the power to save, church. You know, when someone came into the cities, the first thing they got was an appointment with the elders as to why they were running. They were given an opportunity. They were given a trial. You know that God gives us that opportunity to speak to him every day. You know, these cities were never blockaded. The cities were always open. The gates were always open, church. The roads were never difficult to get through because God made it that way. God has never put a stumbling block in the way of man reaching him. It is man that has created a stumbling block to get to God. And it is happening today. You know, church, many years ago, I was at a meeting with employees. And I've related this story before where, as a manager, I can't force people to pray with me. I can't force people to pray, and I won't. I'll just pray on my own. And I had one of my employees make the comment, "That's pretty rare to have you pray over your food, because nobody does that anymore." You know, and I thought, it can't be rare. It's got to be normal. Because it's normal in my life. I'm going to pray over my food. But I thought something as basic as simple. We were taught as children to pray over your food. And you know what we do nowadays, church? We hide. Many Christians will hide the fact that they're Christians. Because, Brother Lucas, if they catch you praying over your food, they're going to start questioning you, and you're going to become uncomfortable, and you're going to have to testify. And if you don't testify, you've already testified. We will have already testified. What are you made of? And I'll confess this to the church. When I was the engineer at the other utility out of state, you know, I struggled with that. You know, I wouldn't even pray over my food because I was surrounded by people of a different faith who'd never prayed over their food. Never wanted to be the oddball because, you know what, I wasn't secure in my faith in Jesus Christ. Because I never thought that there could be a city of refuge where I could go and get refreshed. Where I could escape the slayer, the perpetrator, the enemy of my soul. I always thought I could do it on my own. You know what I discovered, church? I can't do it on my own. God is saying, give it all to me. No matter how big you think you are in the industry, no matter who you think you are, among people in school, co-workers, associates, loving Jesus Christ and serving him is so much grander. Because, church, that's the ultimate plan. The ultimate plan. You know, and I kick myself and think years ago, I could have been a better witness when I left that other utility. And, church, I have to live with that because I could have done a better job. But I got to move on. I got to move on and continue this fight. Because otherwise, church, I'll be kicking myself for everything going back in my life. And God is saying it's time to move on. Because I provided a city of refuge for you. Now you're in the city. Now you need to start finding those that need that refuge. The power of the cities. They have the power to secure. You know, unlike a person in the city of refuge, we can't leave. It is impossible for us to get out of a relationship with the Almighty God. Do you know that, church? And you think, well, no, you can backslide. You can get out. You know what? You can never, because you will always know who God is. And whether it's a hate relationship, you can never, ever get out of that relationship because you are aware of who God is. Whether you like it or not, whether you're saying, well, you know what, I'm backsliding, I've totally denounced him, but you've acknowledged him and you're denouncing him. You know who God is. You cannot escape it. No man on this earth will ever escape that judgment of knowing who God is. Because we are testifying by our character every day. Their power was sufficient. It was interesting about the location of the city's church is that they were available to all, they were accessible to all, and they were prepared to take in people. Going back to the title of my message, Brother Lucas can put it up there. Miklat, that's a Jewish word. And it means what I've been talking about, refuge. It means refuge. And actually, it should be refuge or refuse. So I think there's a misspelling up there, brother. That last second word should be refuse. Basically, I was saying refuge or refuse. What are we taking people in? Because you know what? People are looking for someone to take him in, not as trash, but as someone that has value. Refuse. Now you may look at that spelling and think, is that how you spell refuse? And I had to double check. Because I was thinking it's not refuse, it's refuse. It's pronounced differently. Miklat. And you know, church, God is looking for a few that are willing to be those cities. How many tonight could be that city? You know what's interesting about the cities? Most of the cities that the children built were built on hills, on hilltops, on mountaintops. And they stood out with the kind of stones that were the cities were built with. The walls, the white stones, they stood out for miles. The sun shining off them. And even at night, with a full moon, those cities stood out there and they glowed. They were prepared. The road to the city of refuge was never blocked. A priest made sure that the road was clear. The gates were never closed, no matter the hour. And the direction was never confused. There were signposts that read in Hebrew, Miklat, which means refuge. There were signposts, church. There were signposts that were put up so people knew which were the city of refuge. Because not all of them is Jewish people. There was also strangers that took advantage of the cities. If you consider that God is putting up the signposts and saying, this is the place of refuge, is there a signpost out in front of this church that says, this is a place of refuge? Do you carry a signpost in your life that says, as part of your testimony, it says, I'm part of that refuge. I can give you the directions. I can show you where the city of refuge is. There's a picture in their names. The six cities painted a wonderful picture of the provisions of God. First of all, the city of Kadesh, which means righteousness, a refuge for the unclean. The second city was Shechem, which is a shoulder. It means shoulder, a refuge for the one lost in the wilderness of sin and needing to lean on someone. Third is Hebron, which means fellowship, a refuge for the lonely sinner. Fourth was Bezer, which means fortress, a refuge for the helpless sinner. The fifth was Ramoth, which means heights, a refuge for the wretched sinner. And the sixth was Golan, which means joy, a refuge for the broken sinner. Today there's a lot of people outside of these church walls that don't even understand what joy is. There are too many people that are needing a place of refuge, and are we able to provide it? There are many that are looking for a city on a hill where they can run to, but many times churches are finding corruption in the cities because the church isn't what the church needs to be. The true city of refuge becomes elusive until we point the way. We are responsible more than ever for the signpost. If not us, then who? If they walk in, what do they find? Now let me ask the question to the church. How many have lost loved ones? Let me ask the question. How many have lost children? How many have lost parents? How many have lost siblings? We all can raise our hands for many of these church. When people come into a city of refuge, what do they find? When people come into a city, they're not looking to see how well I play my trumpet, church. They're not looking at how beautiful the carpet is. They're not looking to see how well the children are behaving. They're not looking to see how well dressed I am. They're not looking to see that little boy that sits up here on his front seat every time. They're looking at you. I want you to consider sitting in this chair, looking back in this church, is not the person that comes in to look forward, but the person that comes in and says, you know what, I want to know about you, your testimony. This seat represents that person who will go to hell tonight if they don't know what your testimony is all about. A person who comes into the doors of any church is many times looking for your testimony, what you are telling them, what you are describing to them, your journey with God Almighty. They're looking for Brother Jason's heart. They're looking for Sister Kathy's heart. They are looking for something solid when they come in these doors, church. The brokenness of this world is getting worse and worse. There are more people out there that are getting further and further away from what is an absolute truth. Your children can sit in these chairs, but they're not going to be interested in what's up on that wall. They're going to be interested in what's in your heart. What do you have to offer them? What is your testimony? What are you willing to do? How uncomfortable are you willing to get? You have church. You have family functions many times. You know, church, the hour's late. There is no time to worry about they're going to get mad at me again. Because Jesus Christ is expecting us to be a testimony and to preach the word. And many times preaching the word is just sitting down and facing somebody, looking at somebody, and having that conversation. And it's a conversation of life and death. Because that's what it's become. It is no matter a game. There's no more games to be played, church. Your children tonight are sitting in those chairs. Your parents are sitting in those chairs. Your cousins are sitting in these chairs. Your siblings are sitting in these chairs. And they're saying, I want to know about you. You go to church. Do you play church? You say you know God. Do you know God? Show me. People are looking back at us and saying, what do you have to offer? I'm looking for a place of refuge. Could you please hold my hand one more time? Could you please cry with me one more time? Could you please pray with me one more time? Could you please tell me about this hope one more time? Are you willing to do it one more time, or 20 more times, or 70 times 7? How many more times are you willing to do it, church? It's time to get out of our comfort zones. For those of us that preach the word, it's time to take off our ties and just say, you know what, we're done. It's time to actually start getting dirty. It's time to have the conversation with our relatives. Church, I have a father who I invited to this church. He would be more interested in what you have to offer. I have brothers who would probably rebel as much as they can, but they would still be looking to see what you have to offer. What is the heart? What kind of a heart do you have? A heart, Pastor, do we have the heart of a hero? Are we willing to die for what we believe? How many of you are willing to die for what you believe in? How many can honestly raise their hands and say, I'd be willing to die for my children? I'd be willing to die for my parents. I'd be willing to die for my relatives. And it all starts many times with a reflection, looking back at ourselves, and they're asking, what do you have to offer me? What can you give me? What are you willing to give? It's that comfort zone. Do you have a signpost in your testimony that says, Miklop, this is the way of death? Do we have a signpost that says, this is the way? Are we willing to tell, am I willing to tell my father, enough of playing games, you better get it right? And however I say it, it's got to come out, whether I say it with compassion, whether I just have to speak it up, depending on their nature and their disposition. How do I come across? God, give me guidance. And God says, I'm going to give you guidance. I will give you the words when it is time, but my time is short. But I need you as a tool to start speaking out and speaking up. Tonight, many people are looking for refuge. Many of the lost are looking for refuge. But many want to come in and sit down across from you in church and say, you're the church person. Sister April, what do you have to offer me? And Matthew, what's in your heart? Do you sincerely believe everything when you follow this Christ? Do you follow? Do you believe? Do you really, actually believe it with everything you got? It's a hard question. You know, church, I was talking to Brother Mike yesterday at the gun show, and you know, I was telling him, you know, there's a lot of people, seems like they're all conservative. They're all at these gun shows, right? You know, or save the second, you know, save the country, and let's keep our arms and the right to bear arms and freedom of speech and blight everything, you know. And I was telling him, what if only 10% of the people in here are Christians? That means that the other 90% are rebels. They're just here because you ain't taking my guns. But those are the people that are also looking for a refuge. Because I don't care, church, how tough a guy thinks he is. I don't care how hard a woman thinks she is. Somewhere in their heart, there's something that's breaking. And there's something that is broken. And there's something that has to be fixed. And God is saying, I can offer a refuge. But I need the church of today. It's not the church of yesterday, not the church of tomorrow. It's a church of today to step up. Because God is looking for a few good people that are willing to step up. How uncomfortable do you want to get tonight, church? How uncomfortable do we really want to get? A conversation, maybe the last conversation you have with your relatives in the church. We're past the time of playing games. We really are. The hour is so late. That clock is so close to striking midnight. And that midnight call will come. And then the tears will flow. Church, let there be tears of joy, not tears of sorrow, tears of regret. Who's willing to get uncomfortable from that church? If you could please stand. Church, I want you to think about these chairs in our testimonies. Because there's always going to be someone sitting across. And many times, church, you know who will be sitting across from you? Is yourself. Because you're going to have to ask yourself those questions. Do I really believe all this? Am I really ready to step forward? I was looking for a few good people, church, and they're in this room tonight. Nowhere in America are people gathered together with the move of God we had this morning. We've had a move of God. Basically, every show, I don't know. It's almost like Pastor hasn't preached in a couple of Sunday mornings. He's getting rusty because God shows up. God always steps in when it's time. And it's time, church. It's time. The move of God is going to get closer and it's going to get stronger. But you know what people are looking for? Now they want to start seeing the power of God. That power of God's going to be our testimony. The church, I've always said, the day will come Lord God, let it be in our generation. Lord God, let it be this week. Let it be in a Thursday night service, God. When this place starts to fill with smoke. Let it be, God, that when a stranger walks into the sojourner, the child of God walks into these doors, they see a cloud and they can't comprehend what it is. Well, Brother Larry, you're just being foolish. You're over-exaggerating. No, I'm talking about what God used to do to the children of Israel. That is still the same God of fire, church. That is still the same compassionate God. The same God still answers by fire. Church, his testimony is everywhere. He still holds this world without strings. Our earth continues to spin in this galaxy. And you know, he continues to watch over each and every one of us, our hearts. He knows our hurts, our pains. But church, let it be the same God who answers by fire. Let him fill this place. There's one thing we need is to be that sanctuary city. But church, we also have to be in unison. It is time for all of our hearts to be in one accord. Because if we don't have one accord, church, and we have distractions going on, church, it ain't going to work. Every one of us is a praying person in this church. Every child is going to be in a church of that age. To be praying, to be prayed up. Because if we really want a move of God, if you want to see church, and I'll throw this out there, the supernatural, then you need to start acting like the supernatural. Something above your abilities, which is to say, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm saying, I need you in your testimony to carry that signpost, that move of God. I want you to say, I know the way to refuge. I know where I can. Invite them to your testimony. Let's have them sit across from this church and let them know that we believe who Jesus Christ is. Let them really, really have that confidence in this church. Because no, that's a church. No amount of messages I can put together, no thoughts, not anything that I can write or convince my brothers unless I can speak to them. See, they want a heart of flesh to speak to them and find a heart of God in them. They don't need a heart of stone. They've already seen that. They're experiencing that. Church, where do we start? We start tonight. We started once again. We continue going, church. We are so close. We are so close to this big breakthrough that we're wanting. And then when we finally get it, Pastor, I don't know if we're going to be able to handle it. But thank God we're going to be immersed in it. And it's not to bring the spotlight on ourselves. It's to say God is showing us favor in this place at this time. And let the people come. Let the people know that in Chelsea, Oklahoma, there is a God and there's a place of refuge. There's one more place. Church, let's find a place to pray tonight. And let's ask God, God, there's an opportunity that is given to me. I want to take it. Whether it's my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sister, my children, God. I want to have one more opportunity, Lord, to put their names before you in heaven. Let's do it tonight, church. Father God, finish the message tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit. Thank you, God. Finish this message, Lord, in our hearts, our minds, our souls, and at this altar. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're grateful to God. Amen.